Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
This is Jake and Stacy on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Let's go, Hump
streaming
Day!
Live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, let's here go, are your baby! Hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacy Ross.
Jake, I cannot believe you have this much energy after being at that game for 4 hours last night.
4 hours, heartbreaking loss. Doesn't matter.
Like,
I'm here.
What?
I'm ready to go.
I was just up watching, and still I have one iced coffee and one hot coffee, and I'm still sleepy.
Come on, Rust.
No,
what are you talking about?
No,
we got a big day today.
We do.
We've got a big game coming up. Look, you're going to lose heartbreakers, and it stunk to lose the way that the Mariners lost last night. I'll tell you what, the ballpark, being there, taking the boys, being there with my family, it was a blast. We had a great time. And that was a really fun game until you got to the seventh. Whew, wow, that took all of the air out of the park. And I got a few stories about the game, but it was one of those things where it was tough. It was a tough loss, and you know that you need every single win, especially against these guys, the Red Sox, to give that one up the way that they did was really tough, but. Have to keep things in perspective in the fact that this is a series. It's not over yet. And you got Marco Gonzalez coming to the mound today in, you know, a matinee game. And you got to dust it off. You got to buckle your chin strap up, for a lack of a better term. And you got to get back out there on the field and try and finish this series off right.
Yeah, speaking of the seventh, so you had Joe Smith starting that one out, a pretty decent top of the seventh, bottom of the seventh, and then you continue heading on, and obviously an inning starts out with the Xander Bogaerts triple on a fly ball to Jared Kelnick, which is just a mess. Mitch Haniger looks like the angle's a bit off on that one. Steckenrider comes in to replace Smith, and over the course of the rest of that inning, you get 3 runs scored. So after the game, Joe Smith, even though he was credited with just 1 earned run, said in cut number 3, you know what? That entire thing's on me.
When you give up an out, you know, a 0-out triple, like I did, it, you know, when Steck comes in, he's been absolutely unbelievable for us all year, and especially since I've gotten here. And it just puts him in a spot where he's got to make the perfect pitches. I mean, what we saw out of him tonight was not him, and it's not how he pitches. But, I mean, that's on me. I mean, if he gets a single off me, you know, I think it's a different feel for the inning with Steck coming in. If I get him out, it's obviously a different feel.
That's leadership. And to put this into perspective, in the backstory of this is Joe Smith. Last night, obviously, he gave up a huge triple to Bogaerts, and you look at the position that put them in, and Scott Servais making the odd decision to roll him out there for a second inning. That one I don't quite understand. But so you give up this triple, zero, no outs, and Steckenrider, who's been nails, just can't put it together in the press. The media, they want to meet with Steckenrider and interview him after the game. And Joe Smith steps in front and says, no, Steckenrider's not going to do the interview. I'm going to do the interview. He takes the bullets for Steckenrider and you know, places the blame on himself. That's leadership. And that's something that I hope within this culture, in that clubhouse, that gets formed. I'm sure that Steckenrider really appreciated that and that the rest of the guys in that clubhouse noticed that moment. But that was a position in the game where you're looking at that and they couldn't bounce back. They couldn't get out of it. Mm-hmm. And Steckenrider, who's been so great all year long, just couldn't finish guys, just quite frankly. And so that was a really tough spot. And the crowd, Stacy, I mean, they were in it. I mean, it was awesome. I mean, 3-2 count, one out to go. That complete. If Steckenrider gets him out in that moment, and they don't give up a base clearing, you know, triple, bases clearing triple, I really think that Steckenrider finishes the inning out. They get out of the jam, and the momentum is fully swung with the Mariners. I mean, you can't convince me otherwise. But that was a huge monumental moment in that game.
Yeah, the entire situation that Steckenrider went into, obviously, it wasn't great, but. The situation itself wasn't set up for a ton of success, like Smith said in his post-game interview. And look, the bullpen has been nails pretty much all year long. And so, you're going to have games eventually where things kind of fall apart. But you also got to look at the lineup. Like, I'm not... Boston is built right now to be a better team. Right now, where the Mariners are fighting for this postseason spot, the other teams that are in the mix with them all have higher payrolls and superstars. So already you're facing an uphill battle. You know what you can't do is like strand eight guys on the bases or go 3 for 10 with runners in scoring position. So right. There were also opportunities there where, giving up like, 3, 4, 5 runs late in a game, like that's going to hurt any team. But it didn't have to be 2-2.
No, you're right.
You went in the fourth, you had bases loaded, no outs. And then 1, 2, 3, next three batters are gone.
But it just goes to show that conversation that you just brought up, having deeper rosters, having more money spent on your roster, it shows in these moments because you just look at the lineup, you go and look at the box score, and you felt it, is when you had runners on base, who was up to bat? When you needed a big hit to drive in those runs, who was up to bat? It just so happened your luck was that it was majority the back half of the lineup. And you were hoping that there will be a hero that comes to save you, some random hero who steps up for the Mariners that night. And it didn't happen. And quite frankly, I don't blame them because you're looking at this list and you got guys that are hitting 161, 210, 217, 233, 178. And it's not to say that And they're not necessarily hitting for power, and their slash lines are amazing. So it's just the constant hold that has been, the Mariners are put in right now. And when you need these big clutch moments in legitimate playoff baseball, it's really hard to win these games with the situation that the Mariners are in. And that's just the truth. But they've fought, they've scratched, they've clawed in their way, and they can't afford to make big mistakes like that, or else it just turns into an essential blowout of 8-2, and you get some cheap late runs in the ninth. But that's what was so tough, and that was what was so disappointing about it. With your bullpen, especially Tyler Anderson was great. Handed off to the bullpen, and you were hoping that the bullpen comes up big like they've done all season long.
And that's kind of what the 4-2-5 is arguing as far as just where blame should lie. This person says, blame the offense again. Pitching staff has carried this team in 90% of the games this season. Offense has been shut down far too often. So just once in a while, your bullpen's going to blow it.
Yeah, they will.
It's just the beast.
Yeah, it's the odds, right? So that's why I come in here on Wednesday. I'm still fired up. I'm not crushed. I'm not, the season's over. Is this the most important game, individual most important game of the season for the Mariners? Absolutely. The difference is, for this team going from, if they win, going 2 back in the wild card race to falling to 4th. And that is monumental when it comes to the remaining games that they have. So this game, Stacey, absolutely is the most important game that you have. And you've got Marco Gonzalez hitting the mound.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Which is kind of a nice, in my opinion, kind of a weird poetic moment for the Mariners. This guy was supposed to start out as your ace for the year, struggled all season long, had to be shut down at one point because of an injury, finally gets back, and in the game that can kind of make or break your postseason hopes. It doesn't officially break them, but it's the difference between being 2 games back and 4 games back. That's what today is. You are either 2 games back from the wild card or 4 games back from the wild card at the end of today's game, with 16 left to play after today, and 7 of those are against the A's, but the A's are currently behind you. So you can keep your record strong, you can keep the A's back in your own division, but this is, off the top of my head, the last time you're playing a team ahead of you in the standings.
Correct. So you're going to have to play really good baseball. 2 games back, there's crazier things that have happened, so you're going to need some help in front of you from the Yankees, the Red Sox, Blue Jays, whoever it may be. That's doable. In terms of realm of possibilities, it's doable. Is it likely? That could be debatable, but at least with 2 games back, you're in the hunt still. 4 games back, you can pretty much just say goodbye to the wild card race. So unless something catastrophic ends up happening there. So this game's huge. And I'm hopeful that, we get some fans out there at the park. I mean, we had a great group of fans that were out there, but there were a lot of Red Sox fans.
Am I going to hear this story,
by the way?
A lot
of Red Sox fans. Yes, you are. Because of the Red Sox fans, because how obnoxious they were and how loud they were at the game, One, I saw about four different fights in the stands, four different kind of altercations.
There was a fight.
Yeah, it was. It got pretty testy out there, and so what I've created is super fans with my boys. They are in it. They are. I couldn't be more proud right now in terms of, you know, Mariners, Seahawks, everything, Seattle sports. They are loving it. They're catching the fire, which is really fun, especially my 5-year-old Jackson. And we're out there at the game, and the Red Sox fans, they're cheering, and they're doing their, let's go Red Sox, and they're yelling so loud. And the first time he heard it, Jackson turned to me just disgusted and offended and said, they can't do that here. They have to go back to Boston to do that, Dad. They can't do that here. There's only Seattle chants in Seattle's park. And I was like, you're right, son. That's just not, it's not
right,
acceptable. It's not okay. So then,
let's cover your ears.
There was a group of Red Sox fans next to us, and the Mariners fans are kind of going back and forth. You know, the Mariners fans chanting that Red Sox fans, they suck, things like that. And so, you know, nice stuff, right?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, it kind of quiets down, and the Red Sox fans start getting loud, and they start chanting, and out of nowhere, Jackson turns around, I kid you not, and says, Red Sox suck.
Yeah!
And I could not believe it. Guys, Jackson is my 5-year-old. He is sweetest.
Jackson.
He is like super shy if he doesn't know people around him.
Oh my God.
And he was not having it. And everybody around us started laughing. Even the Red Sox fans were busting up laughing at Jackson. Here's this 5-year-old giving him the what's what.
In the moment,
I was like, what did you just say? Like, I had to tell him, like, hey, we don't talk like that. You know, in the back of my mind, I'm fist pumping, I'm high fiving myself, going, that's my boy. That's what I'm talking about. Let's go.
Just winking. Now, Jackson, you can't yell that at Red Sox fans, and then
that's right,
like, the heavy wink. Like,
if mom asks about this, I told you, you can't do that.
But also, I'm so proud. From the text line 253, Jackson is my hero.
Amen.
Okay, yeah,
best
I do
thing
love
to,
that story.
Best thing to come out of that game.
All right, so again, Jake and Stacey presented exclusively by CarPros Kia Tacoma. We're going to be getting back to this. It's our biggest story of the day, and by the way, we're taking you right into the Mariners pregame. First, though, it's time for Headline Rewrites.
Extra, extra, read all about it.
Headline Rewrites.
Presented by Tila Mortgage.
The real story behind the headlines in today's news with Jake and Stacey.
Headline number one, you heard it here this morning with Mariners Chairman John Stanton. 710 ESPN Seattle remains your home for Mariners baseball after the station and the team reached a multi-year extension. What's the real headline?
Man, it's obviously really fun news, but I mean this sincerely. Our deepest apologies to Scott Servais and Jerry DePoto for making you guys continue to talk once a week with us and myself. I can't stress
enough. Why are you apologizing? I'm pretty sure Scott looks forward to it every single Tuesday.
When Scott got his extension, I almost wanted to be like, hey, Scott, are you more excited about the extension or that you also are insured that you'll come back with us?
I don't know what his answer would be. To be quite honest, we've had a blast talking with him all season long, and it's been quite the year with the skip, the ups and downs, but I'm really, truly excited to continue this partnership, this long-lasting partnership that we've had with the Mariners, and what a great partnership it has been, and hopefully in this next multi-year extension that we are having a ton of fun together, all of us, as we're celebrating the Mariners becoming more consistent winners when it comes to the playoffs, when it comes to World Series hunts. That is my ultimate goal, and hopefully we're having a lot of fun conversations when it comes to the Mariners.
Yeah, it's kind of how I hoped about when we were hearing the report from Jeff Passan about the All-Star game, was like, let's hope that in 2023 you have several All-Stars that are there representing the Mariners, and you have the Mariners not just being this world-class ballpark that people are at and that gets to be showcased. I believe one of the most beautiful parks to be able to just sit in and see the view and the evenings there, especially in the late summer. But let's hope that at the time the Mariners are also on the very much up on top of the baseball landscape.
Headline rewrites.
Headline number two, the NFL Players Association has recommended former Seahawk Josh Gordon be reinstated by the NFL. What's the real headline?
Good news to the maybe one of you who hasn't grown tired of the question, will Josh Gordon come back to Seattle? Like somewhere Dave in Puyallup is like, yeah, let's go! Are we going to see Josh Gordon back here?
My Twitter blew up with, Jake, what do you think? Is he going to come back?
Yeah.
Give your thoughts on it. Look, Josh Gordon is somebody that obviously he has tantalizing talent. He is somebody, his size, his physical gifts and abilities are incredible. And he would be a great addition to any NFL team if you knew he was going to be a part of the team all 16 games, all 17 games now. And that just has not been the case. And Josh Gordon, unfortunately, has not been able to prove that. He's been given chance after chance after chance, and he is battling something that is serious, that I pray for him in terms of addiction, in terms of how real that struggle is. And Josh Gordon's one of the nicest guys I've been around. I mean, I'm really, really sincerely, truly rooting for him. I just don't think the Seahawks, after going through that twice and trying to, you know, give him those opportunities, he fit in the building extremely well. Guys liked him. I just have a hard time imagining that Josh Gordon's going to come join the Seahawks for a third time.
Now, a real question for both of you. He's cleared to return, but I think it still has to be approved by Roger Goodell. With the amount of times he's been suspended and the chances Goodell has given him, do you actually see Roger Goodell doing it?
I think eventually, yeah. I don't see it happening right away. And I think if he does get reinstated, it's going to be another situation where he's going to be suspended for X amount of games, and you're going to have to wait on top of him being reinstated. To me, I think the Seahawks have moved on. I mean, you bring in a guy like Dee Eskridge in the draft, you draft somebody that high because you're going to play them. You know, Josh Gordon at this point would be a number four, number five receiver here in Seattle.
Right.
I don't think the Seahawks have room for him if they do bring him on.
Well, they do have room for him as of right now because Penny Hart is down. You don't necessarily have established guys on the back end, but you also don't, as you pointed, you don't need him. You feel good about those guys, and those guys aren't going to be featured pieces to your offense. So it's really the risk-reward. How much reward do you gain by having somebody on your roster that you can't fully invest in, that you can't fully trust that's going to be on your roster this entire time? And so, therefore, he may get a catch or two for a couple weeks. I mean, that's what he's proven up to this point. So if I knew that he was going to be with this team for an extended period of time, I'd probably think differently. But that's just what we have been able to learn for ourselves here in this situation when it comes to his time here in Seattle.
I think there's also just going to become a point when Josh Gordon, we're looking to see where he lands, and he's no longer 24. He's no longer 25. You know what I mean? Like, so all the hope that collectively NFL fans have about what he can look like, that's going to look very different. No matter the fact that he doesn't have wear and tear because he's been gone, you're still older.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's just the harsh reality of it. So I believe that when it comes down to Josh Gordon's future, obviously there's so much bigger things in Josh Gordon's life that you are rooting for him for, and you are hoping he can get figured out, and football is just a small little piece of the equation here. But the ultimate thing when it comes down to Roger Goodell and him reinstating Josh Gordon is the fact that these are individual inflictions to himself and not to others around him. And so I think you continue to keep giving him chances unless they are substantial, serious substance abuse issues. And those are the things that we just aren't privy to.
You want to feel really old?
No.
That monster season Josh Gordon had, which is a big reason why teams will continue to give him opportunity after opportunity. It was 2013.
I don't like that.
That was, what,
I don't like
eight years
that.
Ago? 9 years ago?
Did he get like 1,600 yards?
Yeah, 1,600 yards in 14 games. If he had played a full season that year, he could have got 2,000.
Yeah.
That's insane.
I was having a debate with Bob once about whether or not 1,000 yards for a receiver is impressive or not.
I think it's very impressive.
I think so too. Bob said it's not the same as a running back getting 1,000 yards.
I think it's still very impressive.
It depends on the system. I mean, if it, that's the thing is, like, I could look at Derrick Henry. I could look at Christian McCaffrey. I could look at Saquon Barkley. And any of those guys, yes, is it impressive that they get 1,000 yards? Absolutely. But they are in heavy run systems, just like you could say that about a receiver. So yeah. Either way, it's an impressive, amazing accomplishment. Are there more guys that are accomplishing that 1,000-yard feat? Yeah, but it's still the top end receivers in this league. It's not just the average Joe Schmo that can consistently get 1,000 yards each and every single year.
Headline rewrite.
Last headline, Jags head coach Urban Meyer says there's, quote, no chance he would take the USC job. What's the real headline?
Translation, there's definitely a chance he could take the USC job. Urban Meyer, we talked to Bruce Feldman about this the other day, and Bruce Feldman was like, look, Urban Meyer, notoriously unpredictable. Like, you never know what he's going to do. And Jake, you personally are not holding, I don't want to say holding out hope, you aren't betting on him staying in Jacksonville.
No, I'm not, to be quite frank. I just don't think mentally he can handle it. Urban Meyer is wired in such a way, and I hate this, by the way. Like, I hate this conversation about Urban Meyer. He just doesn't like to lose so much that he can't handle the NFL. Get out of here. You know what that really is you are mentally immature. You can't have perspective about how hard it is to win in the NFL. You can't have perspective that it's going to take time and you are going to have to build this thing. Did Urban Meyer all of a sudden just think that he could come in here on and take in Trevor Lawrence and they were going to take the NFL by storm? You don't think that he thought that it would be difficult? Maybe he didn't realize how difficult it really would be from the behind-the-scenes aspects of the NFL management side of things as a head coach, rather than being able to dictate and do whatever you want on the college football landscape. Maybe that part of it's hard, but give me a break.
Yeah.
Like, come on. So Pete Carroll, who had all the winning that he did at SC, he was more willing to lose. No one wants to lose. You're just mentally immature if you can't handle the fact and have perspective that, hey, this is going to take a building process for you and your franchise to eventually become a good franchise. But that, to me, is the conversation. Everything I hear about Urban Meyer, that is indeed the case. Ugh. And so you can sit here and have Urban Meyer tell you, no, I am absolutely not going, and then see him go to USC, 6-7 months from now. I absolutely can still see that.
I've been waiting for the tease. I'm going to give it really early. Have you guys heard the conspiracy theory about Ryan Fitzpatrick's hip injury?
It's a doozy.
Well, guess what? It's coming up in the timeline, but you're going to have to wait until 11:30 to hear it.
You're going to make me wait till 11:30?
Yeah, I'm going to make you wait a whole hour to hear it. But don't worry, because I've got plenty to hold you over. The Ringer's Danny Kelly going to come on with us at 11 to talk about the Seahawks offense, everything he saw. And before that, we're going to hear from Mariners reliever Casey Sadler. He joins us next. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to Jake and Stacey.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacey Rost.
Joining us now on the Issaquah Pest Control Hotline, it is Mariners reliever Casey Sadler. Casey, how are you?
I'm good. How are you guys this morning?
We're fantastic. Not running on a ton of sleep. I'm sure you and also Jake, who was at the game and stayed there the whole night with his two boys. Didn't get the outcome that you guys wanted, but still really exciting to see just how tuned in Mariners fans are right now. It's awesome. And by the way, Casey, you did a great job getting out of a jam yesterday, and you had a great play there to help out by Kyle Seager. What's it like going up there to pitch, knowing you've got some of those infielders back there who are just so phenomenal?
Unbelievable. Him, JP, Toro, France, all those guys in the infield, it's pretty special when you can turn around and see, oh, cool. All I got to do is keep it in the infield here, and my odds are really good. So it's really good. Kyle made an unbelievable play last night. JP made an unbelievable play the other night for me. So it makes our job a little easier, that's for sure.
Casey, you've been around this league for quite some time now and have been here the last 2 years. What has been your journey like and having it come to this point here in Seattle? What has been the differentiating factor from those other organizations to your time here?
Oh man, I think it's a lot of things. I think it's experience, it's maturity. I think it's really kind of diving in and finally understanding exactly who I am as a pitcher, who I am as a person, and kind of trying to meld those two and just having a good time. This is a good group. You know, every time we come to the field, we want to do our part to win for the other, I guess, 27 guys at this point being in September. And that's what makes it special. It's just fun to come to work every day. It's fun to basically play for a hometown team as we live in the Seattle area. And so that's pretty special as well. And it's just, you know, going out and doing your job every night. We all have a job to do. We try to do it to the best of our ability. And you look up at the end of the year, and before you know it, you've put together a pretty good year, and you're right there in the playoff hunt.
Casey, can you expand on what you just said in regards to, you know, finding yourself through the process, you know, personally and professionally, and knowing how to bring those two things together? As a former athlete, those words ring so true. And it's for a lot of fans don't understand that journey and that process, and sometimes the adversity that you have to go through to give you that perspective to know exactly who you are. And obviously you have found that mix, having a phenomenal year here at age 30 here with the Mariners. You're having a heck of a year, man.
Well, I appreciate that. And yeah, it is a journey. It's going through adversity. It's going through hardships. It's going through, for me, injuries, going through the Tommy John process in 2015 and 16, going through some shoulder inflammation this year. You really kind of have to know yourself and know that I am more than just this baseball game. And, you know, obviously I have two kids, I have a wife at home, you know, they keep me grounded really, really quickly. And it's just knowing who you are. It's not trying to be someone else out there on the mound or at home. It's just, you know, doing what you got to do. Like I said, show up every night or every day to come in, compete, get your work in, and go out and lay it all out on the line. And, you know, if you've done the work, you've prepped, you got your mind in the right place, then odds are in your favor. So,
Casey, I have one or two more questions about the team and where you guys are, the excitement, especially heading into this series finale. But before that, I know that you're coming on and we're interviewing you, but on behalf of our producer, Curtis Rogers, and my co-host, Jake, I have to have you give them some advice quickly, because they both, in the last, 2-3 months here, became first-time girl dads. You and your wife welcomed your second daughter, almost a month old now. Congratulations. So I was actually wondering if you could give them some advice.
Hang on.
It's noted.
It's going to be a ride. Let me tell you, those little girls, they have a way into your heart and into your wallet, let me tell you. I tell you what, I can't speak on behalf of the boy dads out there, but I can't imagine having, you know, anything other than two little girls. They are amazing. They just melt your heart. I guess hang on would probably be the best advice that I can give you, because, man, it's just – and enjoy each stage. You know, we went through a few stages with our 4.5-year-old, Kaysen, and, you know, like, that's the one thing that we've really tried to do, is just enjoy each stage that they are in for what they are, and, you know, just be there for all the hugs and snuggles and the hard times too. And I think that's the biggest piece of advice I can get, is just enjoy each individual moment, each individual stage, and just hang on because it goes really fast.
Well, Casey, we appreciate the advice. Thanks, brother. I've got two boys, 5 and 2. They were out there rooting you on. They were fired up watching you mow those guys down last night. And I'm buckling up for a hard ride here with the new addition of our girl. I'm so excited about it. So appreciate that. And I know Curtis is going to take
first
that.
Time dad.
First
yeah,
time dad. First take time all that dad. In.
Yeah, we've got a 4-month old Will, and we're taking her to the game today. So if you're out there, Casey, you've got your youngest fan in the stadium today. So.
Awesome. I appreciate it. And congratulations to both of you guys. And like I said, enjoy it.
Well, thanks, man. You as well. One of the things that I also wanted to ask you that I'm just curious about, because there is a group of you. There is a group of guys in the bullpen who have been, quote unquote, for lack of a better term, journeymen, or people that are just, finding their way in this league, the young or veteran, and have found, it seems like, a home here in Seattle with this group. What is that? Why has this been such a great place for you guys? And is it been the mentality that you guys have individually created together, or is it something where, Scott Service and the coaching staff has just been able to give you guys the blueprint to get the best out of you? What would you put into words that equation?
I think it's a little bit of both. At least for me, I can't speak for, the other guys individually, but, for me, it's being given information and then the freedom to be who you are inside the information that you're given. I think that was big in just like, hey, this is kind of a game plan. This is a suggestion, but you're the one out there. Go with your gut, trust your instincts, but also here's the information. And then just all the experiences that all of us have had across the league. We've struggled. We've done really well. We've, bounced around. Maybe we've clicked with certain teams and not with others for whatever reason. And I think just that camaraderie too out in the bullpen and not wanting to be the weak link out there really kind of drives us. We want to be nails every time we go out there. If they're going to give us a lead, we want to hold on to that lead. Obviously, that's not going to happen all the time. It would be nice if it could, but we have like these expectations that our guys are going to battle and do what they need to do at the plate to keep us in the game or give us a lead or whatever, and that's what we want to do as well out there. And if we all feel like if we can go out and do our job, that this is going to be pretty special here at the end, and special for, hopefully years to come.
Well, let me tell you what, you guys have been doing a fantastic job out of that bullpen. He is Mariners reliever Casey Sadler. Casey, thanks so much for joining us today, man. We appreciate it.
I appreciate you having me, and enjoy the rest of the day.
All right, Casey. Thanks, man.
Thank you. All right. Coming up next, Mariners chairman John Stanton joined Mike Salk this morning. We'll tell you everything you need to know from that interview. Don't go anywhere.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines studio.
You're listening to Jake and Stacy.
Driven by CarPros Kia of Tacoma.
Here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacy Rost.
Guys, Mariners reliever Casey Sadler, who just joined us. Top three guest. New top three guest. New
yeah.
friend of the show, certainly, Casey Sadler.
Oh, Casey Sadler. Friend of the show.
You've got an open
line
so on
the
nice. Show, Casey.
Yeah. I would say that Casey Sadler is my new favorite Mariner. Maybe more so than Paul Sewald at this point.
Wow.
That could never be the case for Curtis.
Yeah,
no, I
mean,
so.
Paulie Sewald, that's my guy.
Yeah, Paulie C.
I can have two. Casey's also my guy.
It would be incredibly difficult to say that I'd be telling the truth because I love Ty France. Yeah. But
Jake's gonna tie.
But Casey Sadler, my guy. I just, man, I appreciate it. And I think it's great when athletes, they can be open and honest, right?
Yeah.
Just like be honest, and you have a lot of guys that come in guarded and all that, and he was very open with us, and we really appreciate it. And We'll try to get him back at some point.
Oh, absolutely. If you guys missed it, by the way, you can listen to it. It'll be, it is the second segment of hour one of the Jake and Stacey podcast. You can get that wherever you download your podcasts or on 710sports.com. Fantastic interview with him. Speaking of interviews, Mariners chairman John Stanton joined Mike Salk this morning. And part of the most interesting part of the conversation to me was what comes next for this team. I know all of our eyes are on the game today. It's make or break. Are you two games back? Are you four games back after this one? We'll all figure it out. But it is hard when you have the chairman on not to be able to ask him about the offseason and about spending and where this team goes moving forward. So that's exactly what Mike asked him. And in cut number six, when asked what's next, here's what John said.
From my point of view, Jerry makes baseball decisions and he and I work closely on them. But that's the first thing. I'm not going to try and tell you what the next step is that we're going to sign this player or we're going to trade this player. What I'm going to tell you is that I have great confidence in Jerry. But part of the strength of our organization is the farm system. And if you look at the players that have come up and made their debuts this year, you know, players like Jared Kelenic, Cal Raleigh, Logan Gilbert, those guys have cut their teeth. They've gotten, you know, chopped down a little bit, as almost always happens with players coming in. And we've got another round of players coming in next year.
So when I hear that, there's two parts of it, right? Is when you talk about, first and foremost, the one that everybody really cares about is the fact that, what are you going to do in free agency?
Are you going to spend?
Are you going to spend? And his response was, I'm not going to answer that, but I'll tell you that I trust Jerry and I will give him the resources he needs. That to me is a statement that I will be holding on to and that I really hope comes together. I don't feel like he was passing off blame to Jerry DePoto. What I think he was saying is, look, I am trying to be a mix of a owner that is involved, that wants to be a part of this thing, but also learning from the Paul Allen model of ownership and saying that I am not going to put my hands in decisions that I am not the expert in. Mm-hmm. I am not going to be Jerry Jones and try to sit here and dictate every move that is made because I think I know best, right? It is giving support, lending support, showing you care about this organization, but at the same time, it's up to Jerry to identify the talent, and I will give him the resources if it is needed, and it will be needed. So that is what I'm holding on to, and I hope that's the conversation we're having and what they're showing in this offseason.
It's most definitely going to be the conversation we're having, because I know that just spending for the sake of spending doesn't make you a World Series team, but you also are going to need to bring in talent to kind of be either a stopgap or be part of your team moving forward for your championship caliber team, because as promising as Julio Rodriguez seems and as promising on paper as Jared Kelenic will be, and universally, scouts and baseball experts, it's not just hype, scouts and baseball experts are all really high on Kelenic and think his ceiling is sky high and that this is just a learning curve. This is just someone from the minors adjusting to
his
the big
experience
gap.
Has not deterred anybody from thinking differently.
Exactly. That said, a lot of those guys are still young, right? You've got two pitchers still in the minors that are going to be a big part of this thing with Kirby and Hancock, who Hancock, by the way, just rested for the season with injury. So he might need a little bit more time when he comes back. Gilbert's young. He's been promising, but he's young. You're going to need, if you want to compete in 22 next year and 23, you're going to need to bring in some stars.
This is where it gets muddy, though. Like, there's conversation about Kyle Seager. What do you do with Kyle Seager? I mean, last night, his defense alone was, I mean, incredible.
Well, he's got 34 home runs.
He does have 34 home runs, yeah. But the plays that he's making at third, I mean, are you kidding me? This guy is amazing, right? So you just look at that decision alone. Then you talk about how do you adequately build around with stars, Stacey, star talent, legit talent, and yet still allow this number one farm system in baseball to come up and flourish and develop that core. It's a difficult thing. It's a tough thing. It's muddy because all right, so you go out and get somebody in the outfield. What does that do to Julio Rodriguez? What does that close the opportunity there to bring up Julio at a certain time frame? These are all questions that we're going to absolutely be having this offseason. So I think one thing remains is that they've got a difficult task on their hands because the expectations are changing. the expectations are changing from, all right, we're in this rebuild process to, no, now we're competitive, now we want to win, now we're going after the playoffs, and that's a significant jump, and you've got to make the decisions that help you get there.
Speaking of those decisions, again, asked what's next, John Stanton said that this is, in terms of just the meetings they're going to have, what the plan is internally, cut number seven, this is what's happening.
We plan to do it in the last week of the season while the team's still in town. Get Scott, Justin, Jerry, another owner, and myself. We get together and we'll sit down and we'll go through where we are, where we expect to be, and what additional pieces are necessary. And, you know, there may be additional pieces necessary. And I'm fully supportive of making sure that, Jerry has the resources he needs to succeed.
Once again, it's not maybe additional pieces. I think to Jake, to me, to Curtis, certainly it's there are additional pieces necessary. So we'll see how that all progresses. But it's going to be a fascinating thing to watch. And right now it's fascinating because the Mariners are still in the thick of things with this wild card race. So we're going to get to all of this later. We are going to take a quick break, though, because we have plenty of Seahawks talk. That starts with the Ringer's Danny Kelly, who's going to tell us exactly what he saw from Seattle's offense. Some nice deception there. It'll be a fun conversation. I can't wait to hear Jake's input there as well. It's all coming your way next.